I Suck at Dating with Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. My name is Jared Habe, and Dean Ungler is taking the week off. Pretty sure he's traveling somewhere in the world in his van, obviously on the continental United States, because the van doesn't swim. I am joined by my wonderful guest co-host this week. You know her from her time on Colton's season of The Bachelor, and most recently on Bachelor in Paradise, where she left engaged. It is Katie Morton, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh, round of applause for her.
What's up? Hi, guys.
Don't sound so enthused.
It's me.
I know. It's early. We were recording live from Carneros Resort in Napa Valley, California. Also, just a quick shout out to all the firefighters currently fighting the blazes in San Francisco, Napa, Los Angeles, being here. Ashley and I flew in from Boston. Flying here was a little nerve-wracking, but they have done an incredible job, all of the firefighters out there fighting these blazes, and I just wanted to do a quick shout-out to them and thank them for everything they do for us, because we certainly should not take it for granted. But moving forward from that, we are in Napa Valley. It is a beautiful day out. And we have some incredible guests joining us in studio today. They are here to talk about their brand new dating app called Scene Dating. You might know them from the same franchise that we were just talking about, Bachelor, Bachelor in Paradise, Bachelorette, even though nobody remembers Joe from Bachelorette. It is Joe and Kendall.
Hello. Yeah.
Hello. I don't know why I just said yay. We're here.
So what's going on, guys? Welcome back to Help, I Suck at Dating. Have you been on this podcast before?
I have never been on this podcast. This is my first.
I'm trying to think. I think I have. Yeah, I have been on. I'm like looking back.
Oh my God, you and I.
Yes, I co-hosted with you a long time ago.
Wow, that was the first time I ever co-hosted Help, I Suck at Dating. Was with you, Kendall.
Man.
Wow.
That's right. I forgot about that.
So now we're back.
Full circle moment right here. But now you guys are back. Talk a little bit about this new dating app called Scene, which is the transparent dating, which means a new, innovative, and honest approach to dating, which allows singles who are serious about dating an opportunity to match on human connections and chemistry, and that means more real connections, which is what we're all looking for. So if you're tired of relying on a contrived profile and a set of might look like me, but might not look like me pictures, Scene reveals a potential partner's complete personality and charisma and lets you choose. So let yourself be seen and enjoy the safest, most positive, and respectful dating environment ever created guys are part owners of, correct?
Yeah, we are. And I think the reason why we connected so much with it is because we are no strangers to having a very public relationship. So the premise of Scene is, and the reason why it's so much different than all the other dating apps, is because it's a dating app where all of your conversations and video chats are public for everybody else that's using the app. So you are seen literally by every other person that's using the app.
That seems invasive.
It's scary.
It is scary.
That's scary.
Hey, it was scary going on the show, but what I found with being in a very public and open relationship is that you're almost forced to be completely transparent, completely honest, and I think you almost face what you actually need in a relationship a lot sooner.
And what this app does is it gets rid of the jerks. You know, it gets rid of the people that
ghosters
are on there to ghost and to just hook up or to send dick pics or whatever they're doing these days. But this is for an app for people that seriously want to date. Yeah. And of course, it's going to be a little uncomfortable at first, but I feel, at least coming from like the dating world that we came from, it only works out for the better.
How? Coming from your guys' background of being in the public eye, dating in the public eye, now other people who are not used to that are going on this dating app, and their relationships, or at least their conversations with other people, will be public. Mm-hmm. So what is it about that specifically that you guys think will better the relationship?
Because for me, it was very difficult to let my guard down. And because I never would do that, it would be hard to actually date. So once I was able to open up and be myself and be more comfortable, I was able to actually find a meaningful relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you find strength in vulnerability. And the more you share your vulnerability with other people who are going through the same thing, the more you can find connection. So, I mean, it is a little weird at first. And it was a little weird at first for us. But I think we really connected with this app because we saw so much positivity from our experience publicly dating that I think that it's something that's needed in the dating world today.
So it provides transparency, essentially. Yes.
Completely. Completely.
Okay, cool.
That and sounds- it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, who wants to do something like every other dating app? At least, you know, this is... scary.
I think it'd be cool to find out what other people's opening lines are.
Yeah.
That's what I'd be curious
about. I'm kind of nosy now. I want to get on and check out what is being shown.
Well, you could. Anybody could watch. Anybody could go on it. Ooh. It's only right now you could only participate if you're in the Los Angeles area.
But we're spreading to different cities soon.
Yeah.
So, but right now it's in LA. And we're excited for it to be creeping.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to be on the dating app just watching what's going on in the dating world.
Joe and I have a profile together.
Yeah, I mean, that's
a joint
what we're
profile,
doing. I'm
and we're just watching
it.
Like everything go down. It's actually really interesting. And I feel like it's almost, there's like almost like a sense of a community on the app because you can talk to people that you want to date. But you can also talk to people that you want to just have, be friends with. It's not, it's just so much more than just a dating app.
Right.
And it's just such an interesting concept.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
And like, here's the thing. Like, let's say you, Jared, you were out and you got wasted. And,
every Tuesday.
You know, and you went on the app and you texted someone that you were into and you said things that were stupid.
And you don't want people seeing.
And you don't want people seeing. You have the option to take it down.
Yes.
But then everyone will see that you did take it down. So if you do, if this is a normal occurrence, then...
it causes there to be red flags, which there should be if you're taking down all of your conversations.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm about to download
But I think the only... what I'd be nervous about is if I did drunk text that night, texted something that I didn't mean, went public on the app, I wouldn't notice it till the next morning.
Well, same thing can be said with stories that you go on, like with Instagram.
It's the same thing with Instagram.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with every social media.
Yeah.
Instant
or Twitter, you know, anything. But you just have, you have the option to delete it.
Yeah. Well, I like that because it gives, it holds people accountable.
Yes. Exactly.
Right.
Just like social media does. Yeah. Because when you tweet something dumb when you're drunk, it's out there for the public viewing, for screenshotting, right? So a lot of people are a little bit more self-aware now, even when they're drunk, about what they post on social media. And I think it will force them to do the same thing we've seen.
Yeah.
And essentially, it's going to bring people that are more serious because they're people that aren't seriously into dating or wanting their stuff to be seen aren't going to be on there. Seen,
exactly.
Literally
exactly.
Seen aren't going to be on scene.
Yeah.
Okay,
so yeah.
Really how do I get involved in this? You guys are just making me love this idea.
Well, you can download the app on anywhere you
Apple
download
Store.
Apps, Apple Store. So it's available now.
Yeah.
So okay, it's cool. Exciting. We're excited to see it launch and to see people start interacting with the space. There's already
well,
some
it's already launched.
Well, no, it's already launched. What I'm saying is, I'm excited to see more people interacting with the space and like kind of seeing how that transforms.
Well, anything you two are a part of, I'm always interested in.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you, Katie.
The power couple. You guys are such a power couple.
Yeah, they give me good vibes. So I'm downloading the app.
It's like Jay-Z, Beyonce, Tom and Giselle, Joe and Kendall.
I'm glad
those are the top three.
I don't understand why it's not Joe and Kendall.
I was
going to
say, why are we a little higher on that list?
So it launched in Los Angeles. How did the initial launch come out? So how long has it been out there? How long have you guys been experiencing this with
users? This is the first
users
week.
Yes,
on
this is first week.
Well, we've had test users. So there's been test users for a while. This is the first week that it's public to everybody.
Yeah.
So we're just beginning the public launch. But what we found was when we had the test users, our featured daters, is that there was a lot more of a success rate with actually going on dates and actually planning for a second date. Mm-hmm. So in the small group of test daters, there's actually two that are still seeing each other and still like making it happen, like two very strong ones. So it's just a very successful match rate that we found.
And there's you create a bio, upload photos, so very similar to other dating apps.
Very much
similar,
like a traditional app where there is the bio, there is like the swiping, but you could swipe, but you can also look at every profile that's on there. So you're not limited just to who you have with your swipes.
Yeah, you don't have to swipe.
Yeah.
So you could so this really is a dating social network.
Yeah.
Because it's no longer if you match with someone, then you can start a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You can literally start a conversation with anybody who's on scene dating right
well,
now.
Well, yes. You have to request. So you have to request to have a conversation. And then once they approve the request, then you can start having a conversation. So it feels very safe. Like for me, the one thing that I like about it is I like that you... I like that there aren't going to be people just messaging inappropriate things or giving things that are not wanted, because it's disturbing to get certain messages like that. So I like that this avoids that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people who we've talked about, we've talked with on this podcast who are entering the dating world, who are doing dating apps, a lot of their hesitation comes from those opening conversations, not wanting to meet creepy people, not wanting to receive creepy messages. And this app really takes that scariness and puts it to the side.
It breaks the ice.
Yeah.
You know, this takes dating back to like its traditional form.
It's traditional form.
You know? But it does. You know, it's more, you could actually, you know, FaceTime someone.
Yes.
And have you can have that first conversation. Which, for, I never really went on dating apps, but when I did think about it, I was like, I would feel very uncomfortable meeting somebody at a Starbucks that I'm only texting. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this person's real.
You don't know the tone.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go there and it's just be someone.
It could
be
a catfish,
you know,
or someone, something like that. But this definitely makes it. I mean, you have to try very hard in order to be a catfish. So
right.
Yeah. Lois is angry.
Don't mind our dog, Lois. So Joe, Kendall, in your personal life, how's everything going? You guys are in Los Angeles now.
Yes. Yes. In Los Angeles.
Smoothly.
We're about to go traveling. So we're about to go to
Japan.
Tokyo. Yeah, Tokyo and Kyoto. So we're really excited to travel together again.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but everything's great. I mean, we're busy working. Kendall has her podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm doing my thing as usual, you know.
doing the thing.
Doing
that's
the
good. So when are you guys getting engaged? Just tell us.
Tomorrow.
It's probably going to happen in Japan.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, God. Don't put that pressure on yourself, Joe.
I always say it could happen. It could literally happen any day. It's just, it all depends on how I'm feeling when I wake up.
I'm just, every morning I wake up, I'm like, this could be the day.
It could be. It could be. And that's how it's going to be, too. It's going to be something where it's just a bed, in bed in the morning.
Did you buy the ring?
Will you marry me?
I know. That's really, that's an invasive question, but I want to know.
Did I buy the ring? Not yet.
Katie, you're such a great co-host.
We only have one day. Awesome. We only have one day until Japan.
I didn't buy the ring yet, but if you do, if you're a jewelry store,
gosh, don't
we're looking to get
hit me up in my DMs.
Something tells me Neil will be more than happy to help you out on that front. But you guys can check out Joe and Kendall's new dating app, Scene Dating, which is the next generation dating app that offers complete transparency to men and women looking for the perfect match. Transparent dating means a new, innovative, and honest approach to dating, which allows singles an opportunity to match on human connections and chemistry. Now let yourself be seen and enjoy the safest, most positive, and respectful dating environment ever created. Joe, Kendall, you guys are just the best. We love having you on this podcast, and please come back soon.
Well, thank you for having us. Thank you. Definitely. Yep.
I would say, you know, just drop your Instagram handles, but I'm pretty sure whoever listens to this podcast already follows you.
Yeah, I would say.
All right. Thanks, guys. Welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. Jared here. Dean is not here this week. He's taking a week off. Katie Morton is guest hosting with me. We are recording live in the Vineyard Music Festival with Avril Lavigne, Adam Lambert, many more. A big thank you to Joe and Kendall. God, they're so awesome.
They're amazing. I can't say enough.
Yeah, you were just saying how you felt like you were going to be up their ass from complimenting them too much.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'm right up there with you.
Give me the best vibes. I really love them, both as individuals and as a couple.
I always thought I'd like Joe a lot, just seeing him on the show, how he acted, him being like a Chicago guy.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, after meeting him, it's just everything I ever thought I was going to like about him.
Is this your first time meeting him?
No. Okay. I met him, I can't remember actually the first time I ever met Joe. I think it was at Dancing with the Stars very quickly when he was on last year.
Mm.
And then we watched the opening of the NFL season. This past year for the Packers-Bears, because he's a Chicago Bears fan, and Nick Viall was there, and Demi came, and Tanner was there, and I was there, and Joe was there, and a couple other buddies.
At Goal.
It was, yeah.
I saw the Instagram stories. I felt like I was there.
Oh, very cool. I was like, wait, were you there too?
No.
I don't remember getting that drunk.
My friend is the manager of that bar.
Oh, from Entourage?
Goal. He owns it, the guy from Entourage.
Yes.
But my friend John was the bar manager.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's from Florida with me.
Oh, yeah, very
nice. So random.
I know, that is so random. I love that place. Not to drop goal any more than we have to, but also a big thank you to Joe and Kendall's new dating app, Scene Dating, which they're helping us record here live in Napa. Now, Katie, we didn't really get to talk to you all that much off the top because we had Joe and Kendall in here. So how are you doing? And welcome to Help I Suck at Dating, and thank you so much for co-hosting with me.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I am doing really well. You know, I've had my ups and downs. After the show was crazy, but lately I've finally been getting back into quote-unquote normal life.
What were the up and downs?
The up and downs were, well, I had quit my job to go back on the show because my job simply said, you can't keep leaving for a full month at a time.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? Facts. So
I don't blame you, but I'm still doing it.
I was like, I'm losing you guys money at this point. So it was trying to figure out, you know, how I'm going to live in Los Angeles. But, you know, and not seeing my family. And it was just a lot of up and downs trying to figure out what was normal for me.
Yeah.
Leaving the show. But now that I'm like kind of getting back into my routine, I'm feeling a lot more calm. I'm feeling a lot more me. And that's all a girl can really ask for.
Yeah. And it's tough because, like you said, you try to figure out a normalcy from after the show, and there is no normalcy, right? Mm-mm. Because like you said, you had to quit your job to go on Paradise, and honestly, thank God you did. I know a lot of people that mm-hmm. had to do that, because you go on this show, you end up getting engaged, you meet Chris, and had you not taken that leap of faith and said, okay, I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do this, then who knows what would have happened in life right now and where you'd be.
Right.
So it is a scary venture. So were you from LA beforehand? No, you were born in Florida. I know.
Yeah,
that
I was born in Virginia. Grew up in Florida, went to LSU, moved to Atlanta, moved to Los Angeles 4 years ago. So I've been all over the place bouncing around. But I've lived in LA for the past 4 years. So mm-hmm. I was in LA before Colton season. A lot of people are like, you moved to LA after The Bachelor? Everyone does that. I'm like, no, I was here. I'm like, I was here before. But I've been living in LA. I live in Studio City, which I love because mm-hmm. it's a little outside of the main thing.
Yeah. The main thing can be a lot.
Yeah.
Anybody
it feels
listening
more
from
suburbs
Los Angeles,
than Studio City.
Totally.
Everything's calmer, less traffic. You can walk around.
That's always nice. So what was dating like before the show for you? What was dating life in the
Katie Morton life? Dating was Katie Morton life. Well, at first I wasn't dating because I had dated a guy for almost 9 years.
9 years? Holy crap.
Yeah.
How old are you? 26?
I'm 27, almost 28. I say almost. It's in March. Like, my birthday's in March. Oh. I say I'm almost 28.
Well, happy almost birthday in about 5 months.
That's how it works, Jared.
That is how it works.
After the 6 month mark, you're almost the next age.
Yeah,
but
you're almost there.
And then
9 years. So when did you guys meet?
In high school.
Like freshman year?
Yeah.
And so then you dated for 9 years. So
yeah,
you dated
there was
like
a little on and off at one point because of the long distance. But yeah, he was my best friend. And then we just grew. When you're like 13, 14 years old to 24 years old, I couldn't even drive to his house when we first started dating. Mm-hmm. So we just grew apart as people, and we were trying to stay together when we wanted such different things. So mm-hmm. He's amazing, and we just live two different lives. So we don't stay in touch really because our lives just grew apart.
Of course. And like you yeah. said, from 13 or 14 to 23, 24, those are very formative years.
Huge. I mean, you start driving, you start drinking, you go to college. There's a million things that happen in between then. And then even after Colton season, I dated for a little bit. I was dating a guy for a few months, and he was great too. And then things just like happen, and life happens. And sometimes you just don't know. You don't know why. Yeah. But things push you in certain directions. And then I got engaged.
And then you got
and
engaged.
And then all of a sudden I was in a dream and got engaged. And now I'm here and I feel a lot better than I did. I know a lot of people, the last time they saw me was the reunion. I don't post a lot about my relationship on social.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Mainly because we were just trying to figure it out. At first we didn't know if we were going to be together after that reunion. It was trying times, I tell you. And I'm like, you know what? We need to kind of take a step out of the public eye for a second and see, do we want this? Is this something like let's be in reality now, not paradise. Mm-hmm. What's reality for us? Are we going to work through any of the difficulties we're going through? Cause Chris was sick for a little while. So, are we going to work through this? Because this is what life is about. This is what marriage is about. And we need to, everyone else needs to be out, even though I know we presented our relationship to the world. I know that's what you do when you sign up for reality television. But for me, I needed to step out of it for a second just to give my relationship a fair chance. Mm. And now I'm here. And I feel like that was the best move we could have made because we truly were enjoying each other's time and working things out. And now we're going to restaurants and just enjoying. We just enjoy now mm-hmm. without having to like bring out our phones or anything. And I'm sure I've posted a few things lately, but we just wanted to like see each other's families and just spend quality time. So it's been nice.
Do you think the pressure of the show, not just from the show itself, but also from the following, right?
Oh my gosh.
So do you think that was weighing on you both for a while? And then that's why you felt like you needed to kind of like take a step back and really just try to focus on each other?
Yeah. And I'm very blunt. Sometimes I feel like almost borderline, like it's controversial sometimes. So Chris, at one point we were talking about social and what we were going, if we were going to post or whatever. And, I was like, you know, I don't feel comfortable posting until I feel 100% comfortable saying I'm so happy in this relationship, because Instagram is a highlight reel for so many and I don't want people to get the wrong idea. And, so yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. I think about it in my own relationship as well, about it is this highlight reel that you post, because I'm not really posting about the bad times that Ashley and I have, which there are difficult mm-hmm. times, just like any relationship has.
Right.
So a lot of people compare themselves to other people that they follow on social media. And obviously you shouldn't do that, because like we just talked about, social media kind of is this highlight reel of relationships.
Right.
But you also want to be real. And right. So I understand where you're coming from. I think for me, it's hard to really post any type of like dark times or difficult conversations Ashley and I have, because I don't even know how to.
Yeah, how would you even go about doing that? And then even for us, the times, so we also are long distance, which that makes it harder to post the quote unquote highlight reel, because let me tell you, the highlight reel is us going to dinners in dark restaurants mm-hmm. and I'm not going to have him take a flash photo of me in a dark restaurant just so I can post it. And that's like, those are the good times that we have. Other than that, we're chilling on the couch watching TV, and I don't think to tell him like, hey, like, let's get out our phones, or like, let's call someone over to take a picture of us chilling on the couch watching TV, because yeah. we go pretty much from the couch to dinners.
Yeah.
And when we spend time together, we just are hanging out at home. We don't do like, I guess, fun events yet. We don't do those fun activities. We just spend quality time.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you a personal question.
Yeah.
I think it's okay to ask.
Yeah, it's okay.
But in your relationship with Chris, do you think that you guys got engaged too soon?
I do believe that part of both of us felt that it was a little soon. It was a little bit of pressure, or a little bit, a lot of it. But I try and go with my gut, and I was praying on it in the hotel before, and I just was praying that I was going to make the right decision. And I knew that this was a man that I could spend the rest of my life with. And I had never imagined that my engagement day would look like that anyway, because with 100 million cameras in your face,
who does?
You don't actually imagine it's going to be that way. And when I was staring at Chris during this time, like I knew that all the boxes were checked. And then I knew that the feeling was there. And that's not to say that this is relationship that's going to fail at all. That's not to say that we're going to be not engaged soon. That's just, we leaped into something that we might not have been as ready for as we thought, but it actually pushed us to do all of the hard stuff up front, which I'm actually pretty thankful for.
Yeah. It brings up a question in my head. So Vanessa was a co-host on this podcast, and there was a story that came out over the past week that Vanessa was talking about conversations she had with Nick while she was on Nick Viall's season, because Vanessa ended up getting engaged to Nick when Nick was The Bachelor. And they had conversations about Vanessa saying, hey, maybe we shouldn't get engaged on the show. Maybe we should just date off the show as boyfriend, girlfriend, because I'm not sure if we're there yet. And Nick was coming from the other side and he's saying, I want to get engaged on the I want to get engaged leaving this. Because once you leave this show, there's so much exterior pressure that he felt like the ring would help
hold it together.
Hold it together and make them come closer.
Almost like force you to try harder because you have a something. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, it just you have that bond. You guys are engaged. So you'll take it a little bit more seriously than you would if you left boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yep. And I think that is a little bit part of it.
Do you think that happened with you guys?
I think... To an extent, we're both realists, and I do think that a little part of it was that with both of us in the back of our minds. We take it very seriously. By no means is the ring like I'm going to just try a little bit harder ring, but because for me, a ring means this is someone I can see myself marrying. With the pressures of just, I honestly think if we would have left boyfriend and girlfriend, I don't know how it would have been too easy to be like, okay, let's just not talk right now. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're married or when you're engaged, you fight harder for things. So it was kind of a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Well, that's really nice to hear. And
these are good questions, Jared.
You know, I try.
Like, you're putting me under, my mustache is sweating.
I try to bring the heat. You don't have a mustache because this is a podcast and no one can see you right now.
My upper lip is sweating.
To clarify, there is no mustache on Katie. But just to clarify your relationship right now, you guys are engaged. Mm-hmm. You guys are in a much better place. Because obviously at the reunion, you weren't wearing the ring.
Oh, yeah.
It was this whole thing. Sorry, I'm being very distracted right now. Ashley's being very in the room with us, and she's being very animated, like waving her hands.
I just hate the no ring thing.
I'm just responding to everything, and I can't say anything, so I'm just making facial expressions. And I know Jared's annoyed at me.
It's not. It's just more like it feels like you're trying to tell me something.
No, there's so many things that I feel like we have to censor about our lives, and I'm just calling bullshit on so much over here, while waving my hands.
This calling bullshit to me.
No, not to you. Not to you.
What?
No, not to you.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I'm like, the ring thing, don't make me.
The ring thing.
Oh. Well, Ashley, stop badgering my guest host.
Okay, I'm just going to sit here straight face.
Thank you, Ashley.
It's fun to listen.
Oh, well, that's very
sweet. No, I love Ashley. I know what you're thinking. I'm thinking the same thing.
All right.
I like to keep my ring on.
Okay.
I'll say that.
All right, good. Okay. That is good to know. All right, perfect. But you guys are doing the long distance thing. You were just in Chicago. I saw that.
You know, I freaking love Chicago.
It's the best city.
And I have to take a moment to say I love Chicago, because let me give a shout out to Portillo's really quick.
That's where we went, right?
I have to say it.
Portillo's?
Have you?
We went to Giordano's.
Giordano's. Yeah, Giordano's.
And then we went to one other one that I can't think of.
I can't say enough about this chocolate cake shake and the hot dogs. I can't.
Did you guys do the river?
No. So when
do it.
Oh wait, no. Oh, we did do the river.
Oh, it's awesome.
We took the boat out ourselves with his sister and his brother-in-law.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
You can rent the thing to go in downtown.
I saw the little taxis. Yeah. You go through the city.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Dude, Chicago's the best. Chicago and Boston are my two favorite cities.
We did a helicopter for his birthday when we were in hiding.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, and. I don't know. Chicago is really cool.
You guys posted
cool.
about that, right? You recently
we did,
posted
we
about
did.
That. Yeah.
It was really cool, but I want to go see it now that we don't have to hide.
Oh, yeah. Now you can just be out in the open, living life, wearing your ring, having good times all around.
Yep.
So, Katie, you're also a former dancer.
Yes.
I read that. So my question is, Katie, as a former dancer, how do you feel Hannah's doing on Dancing with the Stars?
I think Hannah's doing really well on Dancing with the Stars. I think her and I are very similar, and we're hard on ourselves, very hard on ourselves. I think she could give herself some more grace. She's really good at giving other people grace, and she doesn't give as much to herself. Performing when you are constantly being judged and she's very competitive, it gets hard. And I'm still technically a professional dancer. I don't do it as much, but it takes the fun out of it a little bit when it's about winning, mm-hmm. as with everything. So as much as she wants to let herself go and just be and just perform, that's part of the hard part of being a professional in it, is you gotta think while you're doing it as well as feel. And it makes it super tough. So I kind of feel for her right now, because I understand where some of this she's scrutinizing herself a little bit in it. But that's just the struggles, and she'll crawl out of it.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, you're really, really close with Hannah. You and yeah. Demi were on the first episode of her Bachelorette season. Lois is just freaking out.
Lois Lane,
our dog. She's just growling at some people. Don't mind her. She's very harmless. She's like 10 pounds. You can flick her off the table if she gets mad. Anyway, moving forward, you're very close with Hannah. You and Demi were on the first season of the first episode of her season of the Bachelorette, kind of scouting those guys. and so my question is, how is she doing now, if you don't mind me asking? Because the reason I asked, there's been a story about Tyler C. posted a comment under one of her pictures saying, like, go girl. What are your thoughts about that?
I haven't talked to her in a little bit because she is rehearsing constantly. But I did read that message she put on her Instagram, and my heart was breaking for her. But she's really strong, and I know that if she lets herself, dancing will be a release for the things that she's feeling. But if she keeps, there's enough people that are going to judge. The judges alone are going to judge. If she judges herself, it's going to make it harder. If she takes that, uses it to change a couple of moves within the routine and takes it for face value and just lets everything be from there and lets herself feel through the routines and lets herself enjoy this process, it's going to be a lot easier for her to handle.
Did you give her any tips before she went on?
No, but one,
like, move your leg this way, put your arm that way.
Once she sent me a video and I told her to do some head checks, which is when you like kind of do your chin up a little bit, just ever so slightly every time you, I don't know. It's just more of a performance thing.
Okay.
Just a little extra pizzazz. It's almost like doing a little spirit finger.
Spirit fingers, people. Bring it on, reference for anybody out there who's not cool enough to know that.
I just told her to enjoy it, because it's the only time she's going to get to do it.
Yeah, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Right. I mean, just ask Joe. You know, Joe had that incredible opportunity. Now, you know, there's more people coming on. So I hope she enjoys it, too. We've met Hannah a couple of times. She's awesome. Another one of your close friends was recently in the news. Demi mm-hmm. Just recently ended her relationship with Christian, or that they ended it. I don't want to make any assumptions about who ended it with who. But do you have any thoughts about that engagement ending? Because obviously you were on their season. You're very close with Demi. I don't know about Christian, but any thoughts?
My thoughts really just go out to them for healing, because I know that this entire thing was brought a lot of eyes on both of them. I know it was hard to do when we were in Paradise. It was, I'm sure, hard to navigate the breakup. And I hurt for both of them, because they're both really, really beautiful people. And once you get to know them, you would probably feel for them too. It's just, it's unfortunate, but, you know, people have to do things that, in order to grow, you have to be honest with yourself, and they are, and that's appreciated.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about the scrutiny that we get for the public relationships that we both are in, and then some of the negatives that we have to go through. And I couldn't imagine what it was like for the first openly gay couple to be engaged in Bachelor in Paradise, and kind of what they had to go through as a couple. Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of them both. Yeah. Ultimately.
Yeah. I think it was a really big step in the franchise, a big step, in our society. So while unfortunately, it didn't work out for them and our hearts go out to them, I think it was overall a very positive impact that they created for the franchise and for a lot of people out there.
Absolutely. And, you know, if they're not going to grow together, they're both going to really grow apart. So
totally.
I'm excited to see what's next for both of them.
Yeah. All right, welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating, and we have some very special guests in studio right now. Now, you might know this band. They have just released their debut full-length album, Rivers, from the BBR music group Stony Creek Records. It is available everywhere right now. The beautiful, the wonderful, very handsome band, King Calloway, is in studio.
King Calloway.
Hey. And that's the podcast right there. Hey. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us, man.
No, this we is really a beautiful appreciate home. It. You guys are just dominating the world right now, aren't you? Congratulations on your new album,
Thank
Rivers.
You.
Thanks, man. Thank
you.
That's very exciting. You guys also just released a Christmas song.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You cover so John Lennon's
Christmas.
That's the one.
Happy Christmas War is over. Yes, Happy Christmas War is over.
Look what you've done.
We can sing it all to you right now.
I kind of want to hear a live version of it right now.
With no, you don't.
It's really
not
worth it.
We didn't pay you guys.
Can't
that
do that
much.
Right now.
I don't blame you there. So, how does everything feel? This whole new success is kind of just like overcoming you guys. I would only imagine. How does it feel right now? I mean, you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. You guys did play Jimmy Kimmel. Mm-hmm. You guys are on the Late Show coming up very soon. What song are you going to perform there?
We did it.
You already did it.
We performed on the Late Show.
It was really
with
late.
Incredible James
Corden. It was really
very late.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you may have missed it.
You missed it because
it was like
it was
really
too
late
for me.
You missed it because
crazy.
12:30 Pacific time. I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm already in bed, guys. I'm 31. Yeah, you've met my wife, my dog. I'm exhausted.
Dude, I know what it's like when you got a dog. You don't stay up late anymore, man.
No, you got to go to bed early because they're up early. You got to walk them.
Exactly.
But we performed Rivers on Corden, and it I think it went fantastic.
Looked good.
A lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. I wore this jacket. I know you can't see my jacket right now.
It's a nice jacket.
But it's a really nice jacket I wore it on Corden. Yeah. It was great.
I'm a little with you, though. I was tired while I was doing it. Yeah, I'm like,
Chris was tired.
I was a little sleepy. But it was great.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, who is the oldest? Is it Chris?
It's Jordan. Who do you think?
Jordan's just turned
26. It's Jordan.
No, right. Did you
hear
that?
I just turned 36 last year. No, I'm the oldest. I turned 27 February. Sorry. My name is Jordan. I turned 27 on the 15th of February, 2019, which is the day after Valentine's Day.
So he's a Pisces.
Oh. No, I'm not. I'm an Aquarius.
What?
No, you're not.
Dude,
you're
I'm
not.
An Aquarius. I look it up right here. I'm an Aquarius.
Is he an Aquarius?
Yeah.
Oh.
Dude, you know that. I beat you in an arm wrestle earlier. I'm an Aquarius.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm like 2 weeks after him and I'm a Pisces, so maybe that's where I am.
Well, happy belated. Happy way belated birthday to both of you guys.
Thanks, man.
And nice Caleb, you're the youngest, right?
I am.
And how old are you?
I'm 19.
Oh.
Yeah. It's usually embarrassing to say.
That's not embarrassing at all.
Yeah. Well, it's a stigma people put on me. They're like, oh, you're 19. Like, how are you doing any of this stuff? Which I guess could be a compliment.
I think that's a big compliment.
But sometimes it's like, are you able to handle all this? Which I don't get that, but it's whatever.
There we go. But so where are you guys from?
I'm from Nashville. And we're going to go down the line.
Yeah, I'm from Gibraltar.
What's your name?
Simon.
I'm Caleb.
Dude,
I'm from Ohio.
We've been together for a year. You know my name.
No, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
we'll
exactly.
That. That's a good idea. Okay.
Do that again.
I'm Chris. I'm Chris Deaton. I'm from Nashville.
I'm Simon. I'm from Gibraltar.
I'm Caleb. I'm from Ohio.
I'm Austin. I'm from Minnesota.
I'm Jordan from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hey.
Nah, I'm not. I'm joking. I'm from Edinburgh in Scotland.
I'm Chad. I'm from Wilmington, Delaware.
Nice. I'm Chad. I'm fast asleep.
Chad's asleep, Brad. Chad is asleep.
I'm Chad from Wilmington, Delaware.
That was like a Snorlax.
Chad is Snorlax.
I think it's most of the time people don't know where Delaware is at, too. So it's just like, oh, yeah, that's in Ohio, right?
It's
like,
somewhere.
Yeah, it's somewhere.
It's somewhere in the continental United States. It's an island.
When Chad says people don't know where Wilmington is, and I'm like, hold my beer. I'm from Gibraltar.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. So how did you guys form? And when did you form?
Tinder.
We were on Tinder.
Big role.
So you guys all swiped right?
Yeah.
We all swiped right.
Yeah.
Now, we all had friends, and they put us in contact. Chris, I was going to tell the story of how we actually got together.
I'd rather leave it at Tinder.
We
leave friends, the mystery open.
Who told us to down, gave us a referral code for Tinder.
And that was it.
Now we're here.
How'd you guys form?
Yeah, we just had a bunch of mutual friends, and we're all on this path in music. And you know, when you live in Nashville, Tennessee, and six guys live in Nashville, Tennessee, and there's only one from Nashville, Tennessee, you realize how small the world is,
right.
And you realize how closely people are connected, especially in music. Simon and I share a good friend in the UK. I moved over to play drums on Broadway. I didn't really know what I was doing with my life at the time. I'm not to, not to, yeah, not to start negative. I'll tell you, it was an amazing year of my life, but it was just kind of, you know, I wanted to go to the UK, and I met Chris, and a bunch of the guys had mutual contacts, and we all honestly just end up in Nashville, like you kind of would if you go to college and meet friends. We ended up in Nashville, and we just shared like common interests. We had similar interests, and we went from there and ended up playing "Love the One You're With," which was the blueprint for the King Calloway sound, and then we just take it from there. And
so Love the Way You're With.
Love the One You're With.
Love the One You're With, which is a cover, which is on the new album.
Sir Stephen Stills.
Is that how it all started, really?
Yeah. Well, that was the first song that we all kind of played together. We all knew it. And then we all love harmonies, and we all love like real instruments and playing and stuff like that. So all of us, we kind of stacked all those harmonies together. And then we kind of...
We just jammed it out.
We jammed it out. Because that original track, there's some vocals and like hand... There's not much like... of an arrangement like musically to it, so we put an arrangement to it and then threw a whole bunch of harmonies to it, and we were kind of like, oh, okay, I think we might have something here. And so that was kind of like, I think we can go on. After we played that song, we were like, I
feeling pretty good.
This is like kind of what we want to do, like all the harmonies and real instruments and all that stuff. So
yeah, because you guys are individual musicians, but you guys together are this country boy band, if I would say that. Would that be how you guys would categorize yourself?
Well, honestly, I would say like when things started coming out about us, like when we, even before we started releasing music, we only had like a few pictures out, like announcing like an EP, and like we signed a label deal. We're releasing our EP in a few weeks. That was like the first thing that came out in like a few pictures, and it was just like. Just the six of us, and people automatically were just like, country boy band. And like, I don't blame them. Like it's like, and
we're handsome as hell.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if you put six good looking guys together and you start singing together, you're immediately going to be like, oh, it's exactly. A boy band.
But then like, so like it's been 10 months later, and we've released an EP, we released an album, and we've played a bunch of shows over the year. And people are starting to finally get like, oh, this is more than what I thought it was actually going to be. This is a band.
You guys just opened up for, who did you open up for their tour? Kings of Leon with it?
So we had the great fortune earlier this year to open up for Garth Brooks in Minneapolis, Minnesota,
yes,
at the US Bank Stadium, which was an incredible show.
That's unbelievable.
We got to open up for Rascal Flatts in Nashville over the summer and 4th of July, and just we've gotten to do shows like that. That's just been an absolutely incredible experience.
I want to know, what was your favorite of those experiences, or one that really brought you guys together to realizing like, hey, this is what we want to be doing. This is where we're at, or something that changed you guys as a band. Or
I think like sound check at the Garth Brooks show in the US Bank Stadium in Minneapolis was like,
made it real,
really insane.
Yeah,
because we had spent the week like just really like rehearsing the songs, and like obviously with like a lot of intent, like just wanting to get the rehearsals up to scratch. And then we walked out for soundcheck, and like Garth Brooks is walking around, and he's like, I want to just be there, make sure everything sounds good.
It's
but
incredible.
I just like kept like looking around, and I was like,
just taking
this
it all
is
in.
Insane. Like, this is massive. And then obviously I would talk about the night, but it, like, it's just a blur. Like when we actually performed, I don't even remember. Like, I just remember one moment thinking like, I like was on the piano and I looked up and just tried to look as far away as I could. And I was like, wow, there's even people like as far away as that. So
That's so cool. Yeah.
I would say we've been so fortunate five times this year to play the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like I remember that first time, I think we all were just kind of incredibly nervous and excited to play. And getting the great opportunity to play the Grand Ole Opry stage, and every time we get to do it, like we've played it a few times since then, and every time you at least for me, like you get that same feeling because you realize the legacy and the history and the importance of the Grand Ole Opry, and the fact that you get to perform on a stage like that, like it's a very humbling and just it's an honor to play that stage. So for all of us, those moments like that, it's just been unbelievable. In this
I always get butterflies when you walk up to the building and you have to check in and you have to give the guy your ID so you can like get back, and he tells you what dressing room you're in. You're like, you're in dressing room 17 tonight. I'm like, okay, yeah, okay, great, sounds good. And I'm like, it's the same guy.
So
and so I'm just like, okay, he's like, yeah, it's just like down the hall around the corner. I'm like,
okay, great.
Yeah, like, I get what you mean, though. I get what you mean, though. It's like, okay, thanks. I'm going into the granola lobby right now.
Yeah.
I get what you mean. Yeah,
I will tell you as well, honestly, playing on that stage is one of the only stages that I've ever performed on to say that it actually like takes your breath away. I genuinely struggle to breathe sometimes on that stage, and I've not even like ran around. I normally run a lot, and I'm sometimes like, why am I? Is it the? Am I allergic to something? But no, it's not. It's definitely there's an energy inside that building, and I always come off that stage completely exhausted, and just like.
I mean, you guys have had an incredible year, and you have an incredible year coming up. So I wanted to point this out because I think this is really cool. Rolling Stone has lauded you guys for being exuberant. You bring exuberance to the stage, each taking solo parts between lushing harmonized chorus parts. And then Billboard named you guys one of the 7 country acts to watch in 2019 and has since described you guys as the Eagles meets One Direction.
Well, they're very
that's
kind.
That's some high praise right there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And very like amazing. For Billboard and Rolling Stone to be talking about you guys and your future going ahead, it's just pretty, I don't know. For me sitting here, it's pretty cool. It seems like you guys have something great going on. And I think you guys might, you know, you guys are just very exciting. That's all. You guys should be very excited.
Thank you so much.
We're very excited. And I remember when we were sent a link to that article about the artists to watch like in 2019 on Billboard. And we were actually all on like a Southwest flight boarding positions, like C. We were like C-38. Like,
oh, your seat, brutal. Your seat assignment's never gonna change.
I was like, shit, we hadn't even.
That's never gonna change.
I was like, I haven't even taken off yet, and like this, I was like right by the toilet. Some dude had gone like 6 times, and I was like, whoa, like an artist to watch. Woo! So yeah, it's with every incredible like endorsement that we get from like Billboard, Rolling Stone, Garth Brooks himself, there's like loads of things that are really humbling and that we're really like, you know, like at the end of the day, we're just like just in it to really work hard and like hope the message gets out.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever find that everything's happening so fast that sometimes it's almost hard to take it all in, and that you'll have to take moments where you're like, we are in Billboard? You know, you don't even think about it. You're like, okay, and there's another article, and there's another article, but then you have to like step back and say, whoa.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's crazy. You know, being in America and moving so fast and seeing yourself on a Billboard and, you know, seeing our name, it almost felt like for a while it was just everywhere. It does still feel like that. But when you have people, Simon and I live, you know, we grew up across the pond, which is very, very, very far away from where we are. And when we get people contacting us from overseas being like, hey man, like, you know, saw an advert or saw this, or I'm like, this is crazy. Wow. There's people that's traveled that fast, you know, that far that fast. I do think you just have to wake up, and there's moments where you pinch yourself and you just kind of go, this is actually happening.
So before you guys get going, this is a relationship podcast, so I do have to bring it back to dating. So two things. You guys are obviously not a boy band. You guys are a country band. Even though the reason I bring it up, because I'm the biggest defender of boy bands. I think Backstreet Boys is one of the greatest bands of all time, and I will defend that.
Amazing.
Like, yeah. I am. They've been doing it for over 30 years.
Hey, you know what?
Oh, I've seen them probably at least 4 times this year.
And they're still making bank.
They're killing it. They've been in the game for almost 30 years. They have two of the most recognizable songs in the history of music.
Who's your favorite?
Who's your favorite? Come on.
Putting me on the spot.
Mine's Kevin. Mine's Kevin.
Dude, I love Kevin.
That's my favorite. Hey,
Kevin. Dude, Kevin's awesome. I mean, Nick is just always because, like, the nostalgia, like, the young 12-year-old in me wanted to be Nick Carter so bad.
Of course.
But growing up, Kevin is now my favorite.
Dude,
AJ is awesome.
AJ is amazing.
AJ's the man.
So we have a really cool Backstreet.
Howie's the man. Brian's the man.
We got a really cool Backstreet Boys story.
Oh, please do.
So when we were, like, first, like, getting songs pitched to us in Nashville, we got this song called Just Like You Like It. And it was an amazing song. We were actually in the rehearsal studio, like rehearsing the song, like intending on putting it out on the album, and our manager came in and he was like, well, the Backstreet Boys stole the song from you, so like
that's really awesome.
It's now on their latest album DNA, which is really cool, but they killed it. It was super cool, but that was going to be a King Calloway song.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty, again, high praise. It was either you or the Backstreet Boys getting a country song. That's awesome.
They nailed it though. It's such a great song.
They nail a lot. But bringing it back to dating, because we are a relationship podcast, I want you guys out there to give the listeners a little bit of advice that you can pass on in the dating world, mm-hmm. like something you can pass on to somebody listening right now, give a little advice to them about how to navigate 2019 dating.
Chad? First of all, who in here is in a relationship?
Me over here. Chad is in a relationship.
That guy's married.
Chris just got married.
Chad's
so
in a relationship. Chris is married.
I just got married.
Simon's in a relationship. Who's available? We're asking for. We're asking for all those ladies out here. Who's available?
No one.
Okay, no one's available. All right. All right.
Oh, no well.
Fun.
No, it's all fun.
Hey, I'll say this. I'm the only one that is married.
Okay. All right.
I'll say that. Oh, me. So I've been with. Okay. Her name is Molly. I've known her for 8 years. And.
We've known her longer, right?
I've known her for maybe 9, 10 years. I was friends with her older brother at first.
When did you guys start dating?
We started dating. So she was a. It was the summer after my junior year and the summer after her sophomore year.
I want to know how you popped the question. Also.
This is a great story.
Tell me what you think. Okay, you guys got to tell me what you think of this. So rate it from 0 to 10, whatever you want to do.
It's funny because you can't take it back. Can't redo.
Yeah.
So if I don't like it.
Tell me what you think about how I did with the proposal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. Tell me what you think. So my family used to do, like, during Christmas. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to get gooey or anything. But my family used to get.
I love it.
We used to, like, on Christmas Eve, we used to always, like, everybody would light a candle on, like, Christmas Eve and, like, tell Jesus, like, one thing that we're thankful for. Mm-hmm. And so I had been with her for, like, 7 years. 8 years now. But at this point, it was 6 years. So she knew of the tradition.
Yeah.
So I told my parents to pass out the candles, so she thought that's what we were doing, but that's not what we were doing. It was for, so she thought we were doing that, and then all of a sudden I dropped down on one knee, and then she looked around and was like, oh, that's not what we're doing, it's for her.
Aww.
Yeah, and then I asked her. Yeah.
Were the candles lit?
They were. Yeah.
Romantic.
That's so cute.
Thank you.
That's a 10 out of 10.
Oh,
right there.
Thank you so much.
Because with proposals, it's all about the thought that is put behind it.
Yeah. And the surprise factor.
And the surprise factor.
Well, I would be honest. I thought that I was going to be like slick, like cool and like.
Were you shaking in your boots?
Oh, I was like, I couldn't say a thing. I was awful. I was terrible.
Did you ask the question?
I did.
I've heard stories about guys like getting down on one knee and being so nervous they forget.
So
to
here's
ask
the thing:
question.
I did. I was able to ask the question, but the one thing I did forget to do was I forgot to hand her a ring.
Oh yeah,
I forgot. I was so nervous, and my uncle actually had to be like,
"Hand it over, man.
Give her the ring."
You're like, "Well, I'm going to keep this for a second. Is it yes
or
no?" Yeah,
but I was so nervous. I thought I was going to be so cool and collected and like suave and all that stuff, but. I was a mess, but she said yes, and she, you know.
There's something about it being imperfect that makes it so perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And luckily, I had, like, my family in on it, so mm-hmm. that, like, my mom and my dad. So, like, even if I messed it up, there's still, like, candlelight and all that stuff. Like, you know, it went well. It was great.
Yeah. Cool. Any other tips on dating from this group? How about from the youngest?
Oh.
How's it going out there in the dating
world? I don't know, man. I'm just trying to
give another one of those stories.
I just got done with math homework, so I don't know.
We go from the married to married.
Snapchatting 24/7 over here.
Snapchat
algebra 2.
Exactly.
So
I don't know what I'm just trying to figure me out right now.
Good. Yeah. I think that's the best thing to do.
Shredding R.
But you're in a relationship, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But like, she gets it. She's figuring her. I mean, it's no. Listen.
She gets it. Oh, billboards talking about us.
Listen,
you know what I mean?
No.
She's
playing volleyball at college. She's like, it's that weird transitional phase where like she's figuring herself out. I'm figuring myself out. So it's like super chill.
It's a growing
phase. Awesome. Yeah. And like with us, all relationships are long distance basically because we're never around. Yeah. So that's kind of like a different dynamic, which is tough sometimes. But I think I'm killing it. I don't know, guys. I don't know what's going on.
Same deal with Caleb. Like, my girlfriend and I, like, we both met in school in Boston. That's why I complimented your Red Sox hat for a second. Yes. Yeah.
Did you go to Berkeley?
I went to Berkeley. She went to Northeastern. And we met on Tinder, actually, of all things. So, like, we started going out, and, like, we dated for, like, about a year in Boston, lived in Boston together, basically. But then when she graduated, she moved out to Los Angeles, and it was around the same time that I moved out to Nashville.
She's an artist as well.
Yeah, she's a comedian.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, exactly. And she's
really, really good.
And she's
really
good. She's extremely talented. She's hilarious. She also wants to go into writing as well. She's a phenomenal writer. And I think, like, and so I know long distance, it seems like to be more of a common thing nowadays, given that how accessible, like, social media and, like, communication is nowadays, which is great, but, like, but also it's, it hinders because, like, it's still tough being away from the person that you really love.
It's not true quality time.
Exactly. Like, so, I would say for long distance relationships, it's like, it's so, communication is so important. Like, I will be like, it's almost every night I will be up until like 1 o'clock in the morning just talking to her, because like that's the only time that we get basically to like really have a conversation. Yeah. And but like it's worth it, because like that's the time where like I want to hear about her day. I want to hear about what's going on at work and like how her stand-up gig went and stuff like that. Like that time is super important to like really just be able to communicate with another. And like most of the times I have to go out and see her more than she can come out and see me, but it's worth it because like she has to work and like I have to work too. But most of the time when we're doing stuff at work, like we're going out to LA a lot of the time, which is very convenient. And like, I realized not a lot of people get that convenience of like where people can like immediately go out and see them, whether it's like for personal time or for like for work and stuff like that. But I'm very, very fortunate in the fact that I can go out and see her, whether it's for whether we're going out there or whether I want to go out and see her. So I would say, like, if anyone listens who is in a long distance relationship, communication and talking every, like, literally talking, not texting, like, literally over Skype, over a phone call, FaceTime, every single day, no matter what. Like, I don't care. Like, it, like most, like I said earlier, most nights I'm staying up till one or 2 o'clock in the morning. But that's fine. I want to do that because that's the only time I get, you know? So it's very important to do that.
Chad's an amazing boyfriend.
Yeah. Chad, like, was on the phone to her at a meet and greet once. We're trying to take photos. We're trying to take photos with fans. He's like, hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
I'll call you later.
Garth, give me a second. I got to talk to my girlfriend.
The effort is impeccable on this end. And I actually kind of love that. I know we're about to wrap this up, right? Oh, no. I really love that because, you know, sometimes in long distance relationships, I was in one prior to mine now, but you get caught up in telling each other what happened during the day, as opposed to asking each other how you are.
Exactly.
And I love that you're staying up late to really dive deep into those conversations, because I think that people oftentimes are like, this is what I did, and they list the laundry list of things, and then they go to bed.
And that's it. All right, good night. Like,
and that's not uncovering how people felt throughout the day or what emotionally where they stand. So I love that. I love that.
Yeah, does anybody want to follow that one up? That was really good.
I want to throw in a tiny thing, because I've got an incredible girlfriend, and the one thing I love most about her is that she's so incredibly selfless, and I like super wish that I could be as selfless sometimes, and sometimes I'm like, crap, like I'm so self-centered. And so just she's the reminder to me that the truest meaning I know of love is to the total giving of oneself in order for the other person. And so yeah, I think if anyone's listening and they're like thinking, I would say just be ready, like, to give the most of yourself possible in the most honest way, and to be there for that person. And that doesn't even need to be a relationship. That can be for your grandmother as well. Just be there for her.
Simon topped it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks.
I think one thing that I could, one small thing to add as well, is when you actually, because we are away from our partners for lengthy time, when we do actually get a little bit of time, and this goes for everyone, even if you are in the same city or whatever with your girlfriend, is to actually give quality time. Because I feel like we're caught up in a world now of social media where it's so easy to go on Instagram and text your buddies or play your Xbox or, you know, do emails or whatever. And the most important thing that I can say is, you know, sometimes, I mean, my girlfriend and I took a walk last week. I've not walked probably in the woods since I was like 10. But we walked around Radnor Lake in Nashville, and it was just a really special moment where she actually looked at me and said, hey, let's just leave the phones in the car. And I was even a bit antsy. I was like, leave the phone in the car? Like, what happens if I get lost? What happens if I fall down a cliff? What happens if a bear attacks me? She's like, you know, honey, you're going to be all right. And it was that kind
of
time.
Knowing Jordan, all three of those things.
That would have happened.
Yeah, it took an allergic reaction. No, but it was great. And you know, you learn so much more about the person that you love, be it your friend, be it your partner or whatever, in that moment where you just, no interruptions, no phone calls, no social media, no let's put this on Instagram, let's do this for whatever, you know, just really getting to know that person. And that's the best thing I can say. You know, when we fly home tomorrow, tomorrow evening, I'll put my phone face down and we'll just have a chat, maybe a glass of wine, watch a movie or something. But just before the movie, you know, just kind of sit down and, like Chad said, just really find out how their weekend was. How, because when you give someone that quality time, even if it's 10, 20, 30 minutes, an hour, that fills people up. Yeah. You know, and that's what I need as a person. And I realize that that's what my partner needs and what friendship needs.
Oh, sorry. And I just wanted to ask, I love that, but did you guys give each other those giving keys?
No, we didn't actually. Do you know there's a story behind this giving key? So I bought this a while ago for myself, and my mum was coming to Nashville. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was really sweet to have to give a key to my mum as well, because my mum lives the other side of the world. So I have one key and my mum has the other one. So so we both have the same key. That's why I have it.
Well, it's awesome. That's a sweet story.
That's cute, Jordan.
Thanks, yeah,
that's really cute. Cheers. That's really cute.
That's a good one. That's a good one, Jordan.
Thank you.
Really can't
nice, Jordan.
That's a sweet thing. Come on now. I really can't thank you guys enough for coming on.
Of course. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you. You guys are awesome. Super talented. Really nice. Everybody can check out their album, Rivers, wherever you get albums, pretty much iTunes. You can also check out their brand new song, their cover of John Lennon's Happy Christmas, War is Over, which I listened to last night. And thank you guys. I went on a binge of listening to Christmas music after that. And it was only November 1st, but that's okay.
Merry Christmas.
And you guys might have opened up for Rascal Flatts and Garth Brooks, but I feel like somebody's going to be opening up for you guys pretty soon. So best of luck in your future. Super excited for you guys. And thank you for coming on the podcast.
Of course. Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Well, that will do it for our episode of Help I Suck at Dating. A big thank you to, of course, Katie for guest hosting again.
Yay. Thanks for having me.
Of course. We want you more often. That sounded weird. Anyway, big thank you to Joe and Kendall, the beautiful couple who we love. Big thank you to King Calloway. Of course, you can get their new album, Rivers. And you can also check out their new Christmas single, the cover of Happy Christmas, War is Over, the John Legend. Huge hit. John Lennon. Good God. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I said John Legend. The John Lennon song, excuse me. And so, again, a big thank you to all of you listeners. Please keep emailing us at isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. We appreciate and love all your emails, and we appreciate you all for listening to this podcast. And please tune in next week, where hopefully we all suck just a little less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.